As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It began long ago. Two young boys in an American town riding their bikes to school and Little League practice. But over the years, the boys became fast friends, united in their love for stories. Not any stories, mind you, but tales where things would go horribly wrong. Usually perpetrated by stupid people doing stupid things. While they grew into adulthood, their senses of humor stayed in the fifth grade. As they both gravitated to careers in broadcasting and they moved to separate coasts, their friendship grew even stronger in their obsession for the best stories of others' mishaps. Cover the young one's ears, pour yourself a strong beverage, and buckle up. The Box of Oddities is about to present Schnepley and Toth, the shallow end of the gene pool.
Hello, friend.
Hello, friend.
How are you?
I am well. How are you? It says here we have 30 seconds of host chat on my rundown. Am I looking at the last episode?
No, you're right. It's okay. 30 seconds of...
witty banter.
We pretend to be old friends.
Actually, we are old friends. Okay. Lindsay and I go back a long way. You've heard us talking about this before. Lindsay actually, for many, many years, worked for Disney in Anaheim, Disneyland, Disney Corporation.
The original theme parks. You know, we used to call it the Rembrandt of the theme parks.
Really? Why is that?
Because it was the original. It was the only park that Walt himself ever visited.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. He passed away before, about 6 years before Disney World opened.
Yeah.
I'm sure in your capacity there, you met a lot of famous people. Tell us some stories about famous people.
I did. I got to meet some very well-known people, and it was always fascinating to see them for who they really were, you know, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Some were not the kindest people.
Those are the ones I want to hear about.
Yeah, everybody does. I think I've pushed those out of my memory, but I did in recent weeks hearing about the passing of Gilbert Gottfried. I remembered a story, and I actually posted it on Facebook. It was in 1992, and Aladdin had just come out, and he had been sent to Disneyland to appear in the new Aladdin parade.
Because he was the voice of Iago.
Because he was the voice. Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So he could not have been kinder, and he was exactly what you'd expect. He was goofy, he was loose, he did a great interview about appearing in the parade, and then he was going to go on some different attractions. And so we finished the interview, and that's when he finds out that he is supposed to ride on an elephant in this parade. And apparently his manager had not said anything about that because he knew that Gilbert would not be a fan of this idea, and Gilbert freaks out, and he says, "I'm not doing it. I'm not riding on your effing elephant." And all these Disney executives were standing backstage and kind of exchanging nervous glances, and finally one of them says, "Yeah, you know, your manager's already signed a contract, and that's what we need you to do. You're going to be the star of the parade this afternoon." So Gilbert gets on his cell phone and calls his manager and says, "I'm not doing it. I'm not riding on an elephant." And the manager very calmly tells Mr. Gottfried that indeed he will ride on the elephant, that he was contractually required to do it. And really, you don't want to go toe-to-toe. You don't want to back out on an agreement with Disney.
No.
So Gilbert has no choice, but you can tell he is scared to death. So they take him backstage, back behind It's a Small World, and they put a wireless mic, a headset on him. And the idea is that he was going to ride down the street maybe like a 14-minute ride from gate to gate, and he would be cracking jokes and interacting with guests, and people were going to realize, my God, that's Gilbert Gottfried on this elephant.
Uh-huh.
But he's upset. He's angry that he has to do this, so he realizes that there's really nothing they can do to fire him, so he can say pretty much whatever he wants.
Oh, no.
So he's coming down Main Street, and we've got cameras on him because we're shooting all this video that we're going to put up on a satellite, and hopefully TV stations all across the country are going to, you know, close their evening newscast with an unusual sight at Disneyland today is Gilbert Gottfried, blah, 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 blah. So as he comes around the last stretch on Main Street, we can finally hear what he's saying. And he's saying, have you ever seen anything like this? I hate this. I'm terrified up here. I don't want to be on an elephant in a Disney parade. And guests are just staring like, what the heck is going on? So now he's really getting into it. And he says, who would do this? Have you ever seen a Jew on an elephant? No. Jews don't ride elephants. Who would put a Jew on an elephant? I'll tell you who puts a Jew on an elephant. The Disney Company. That's who. Come watch the Jew ride down Main Street on a real-life elephant. Phone your family. Tell them what you're seeing. Look, kids, that's a Jew up there. And people were just drop-jawed. And to their credit, you know, the powers that be could have cut his mic, but either they were too in shock to reach over and push the button, or I don't know what. But it was one of the most unusual things I got to see when I was
wow. Wow.
It was hysterical.
So he didn't want to ride it because he was afraid of the elephant?
I think it was the fear of height, of being up that high and really being on, you know, if some people are skittish about getting on the back of a horse. I actually got to ride on an elephant when I was working there.
Was that one of the job perks at Disney?
It is.
All the elephant rides you can handle.
They leave that out of the brochure, but yeah, that was one of the unspoken perks. So he was very skittish, and you know he was not a big guy. He was not a didn't look at him and think that man belongs in a horse out on the range.
He was a slight man.
He was a slight man, but a huge heart and a huge sense of humor.
Yeah, he'll be missed for
and
sure.
Fantastic guy.
That's a great story. Yeah. And I want to pick your brain more on celebrity encounters that you've had, because you're out in Los Angeles. You probably have them all the time.
Well, we have some people out here that are not famous.
Really?
Yeah, it's true. Every once in a while, I meet somebody and realize, oh, you're not famous. Why am I talking to you? Because I came to get my dry cleaning. That's why.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, you have a story for us, my friend.
I do have a story. Speaking of elephants. Speaking of big animals.
Okay.
I actually thought I did a little dance of joy when I came across the story, because I thought Kat is gonna have kittens. She's gonna be so happy at this story.
Oh, I'm very excited.
So there's a place called Kruger National Park. It's in the northeastern part of South Africa, and it's one of the hugest game reserves. In the world, it's 4.9 million acres. Think about
wow.
that.
Wow.
Wow. 4.9 million acres. And they're a huge deal. They get just under a million visitors every year. And one of the reasons that they're so popular is that they have what they call the Big Five.
The Big Five.
The Big Five, which are lions, leopards, rhinos, elephants, and African buffalo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
And in addition, hundreds of other mammals, like all kinds of diverse bird species, you know, vultures, eagles, storks. The land's got mountains, bush plains, tropical forests. I mean, it's just a melting pot of animals.
It sounds like one of the premier game reserves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And internationally known. So the country itself's got 20,000 wild rhinos, more than 80%, and I just learned this, 80% of the world's rhino population is in South Africa. A number of those, about a third of these animals, are owned by private breeders. Now, in April of 2019, and this is always the dark side of a story like this, when you've got that many animals, you're going to get some bad guys. You're going to get some poachers.
All right.
Poachers, April 2019, they sneak into this park. in the middle of the night to hunt for rhinos.
Linz, I'm going to stop you right here. I'm a little confused because I do not like this.
I know you don't right now, but
okay.
Trust
okay.
me. At All the right. end of this, you're going to have little tears of joy streaming down your cheeks.
Okay.
I promise you.
I'm ready.
So I have to back up and understand a rhino horn, even though it's illegal, is incredibly lucrative. It's worth $30,000 to $100,000 a pound. It's more expensive than gold and cocaine on the black market.
Holy crap, I had no idea.
I didn't either. It's one of the most expensive wildlife products on the black market. And it's kind of stupid because it's just made of, it's all keratin. I mean, it's the equivalent of compressed hair. There's absolutely no health benefit to humans, but people, particularly in certain Asian countries, see it as an aphrodisiac. They think it's a cure for illness. Some people give them as gifts, and it's this huge misconception that it's really worth a lot when it's not.
Speaking of rhino parts and celebrities, I once interviewed Bo and Jeff Bridges at the Bo Bridges Celebrity Tennis Classic in Tucson.
How cool was that?
And it was pretty cool. And they told me a story about their mother who had gone to Africa and came back with a rhinoceros penis. She kept it on the mantle.
Now, see, I immediately go to, that was a counterfeit rhino penis.
Picked it up in the gift shop.
Like you jaded Hollywood types.
An industry in itself. So the managing park, the managing executive of this Kruger National Park is a guy named Glenn Phillips. And he says, entering Kruger National Park illegally and on foot is not wise. It holds many dangers, he says. So to that point, this guy suspected of being a rhino poacher was killed early April 2019, not by a rhino, but by an elephant. Trampled to death. Trampled to death by an elephant while he's there to poach rhinos.
Was he trying to protect his rhino buddy?
It doesn't say here. What they do know is that he was apparently with a group of other people. They had snuck in as a group. And they end up sending in a search party to look for this guy. And they've got rangers on foot. They've got what they call an air wing, which are park rangers and planes, because the place is so huge. They look and look and look for this guy. And his four accomplices said, well, it was somewhere in this area that, you know, we lost him. Finally, on a Thursday morning, they find his remains. And all they find is a human skull, and here's where you guys are going to love this, and a pair of pants. A skull and some pants.
How much could you get for those pants on the black market, though? Those are some sturdy pants.
Yeah, I would buy those just to frame them and say, you know, let this be a lesson to you other kids.
The manufacturer of those trousers should use that in their advertising.
Exactly. You know?
Absolutely.
Hager, elephants can't even ruin our pants.
So that's one animal species kicking some ass, right?
Yeah.
You got the elephants trampling to death. Well, after the elephant tramples the guy to death, guess what else happens? Guess who wanders by to investigate?
Lions.
There you go. Give Jethro a prize. And lions being lions, they look at this body and they think, free dinner. Right? But this is not the first time that karma like this has happened. There's another game reserve on the Eastern Cape of South Africa. It's called the Sibuya Game Reserve. They're only 30 square miles, but they've got the same thing. The big five: lions, rhinos, elephants, buffaloes, leopards. So a year earlier than this, July 2018, poachers break into that reserve, the Sibuya Reserve, to hunt rhinos. What did they not count on? Running into lions in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
And a pride of lions ate these three guys.
Just ate them.
Just ate them. Sometimes between a Sunday night and a Monday morning, They just devoured these guys. Now the guy who runs this park, this guy named Nick Fox, and he says one of our guys found what he thought was a soccer ball, but it turned out to be a human skull.
Oh, no.
So
what about his pants?
Apparently the pants were not to be found. They recovered the remains of the bodies, three pairs of shoes, wire cutters, a hunting rifle with a silencer, and an axe that is what poachers use to take the rhino horn off the rhino.
Uh-huh. Wow,
he said the only body part that we found was one skull, a bit of pelvis. Everything else was completely gone. There was so little left, we didn't know exactly how many people were killed until we found the three sets of shoes and three sets of gloves.
Well, that's how I would expect a lion to behave. The other story, apparently the lion ate around the pants.
Maybe there was something about the denim or whatever it was that didn't taste good, but this other poacher,
his pants were delicious.
Maybe he had a better pair of pants. So give it up for karma and
wow,
and animals kicking ass. This is pulled from Google, the New York Times, Newsweek, and the Daily Mail.
Wow. Does that make you feel better, Kat? She's beaming.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
She's beaming.
I'm glad. That. When I saw the animal revenge and when I saw pants and knowing how special that word is to you two, I thought this is destiny.
Thanks. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful story.
We used to be called Casket Town, but we've grown so big, we're changing our name to Casket City. Visit our showroom today. Find more caskets under one roof than anywhere else in the country. After all, this is Florida. Whether you're looking for something made of flimsy cardboard, a simple pine box, or a casket fit for a king, you'll find it here. And remember, caskets make great gifts for that person who has almost everything. Our huge inventory is produced here in our own factories. There's no middleman. So our savings are passed on to you. See what we did there? And even if you're not in the market just yet, come take our Casket City factory tour and see for yourself just what goes into building the last home you'll ever need. Casket City. Think of us as God's waiting room, off Interstate 4 in Orlando. Casket City. Not affiliated with Casket Village or Casket Hamlet of Miami.
As we move into summer, so many plans, so many opportunities to do things that it can actually become stressful. And you don't want meals to become part of that stress. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted and dietitian approved.
Yeah, JG's right. The only thing better than delicious meals are ready-to-eat meals that you can prepare in just 2 minutes.
No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping and cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up on your springtime food goals.
And it's tailored to your schedule. Customize weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor's your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Look, just head to factormeals.com/shallowend50. That's right. Use code shallowend50. That gets you 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code shallowend50 at factormeals.com/shallowend50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey there, I'm Dylan Lewis, one of the hosts of Motley Fool Money. Each weekday on Motley Fool Money, we talk through the business news you need to know and the stories moving stocks on Wall Street. On weekends, we dive into the industries shaping tomorrow and host the experts, authors, and executives that understand them. Tune in for insights, a long-term perspective on investing, and of course, stock ideas, plenty of them. To quote a listener, it pays to listen. Check us out and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
When Johann Rahl received the letter on Christmas Day 1776, he put it away to read later. Maybe he thought it was a season's greeting and wanted to save it for the fireside. But what it actually was a warning, delivered to the Hessian colonel, letting him know that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware and would soon attack his forces. The next day, when Raw lost the Battle of Trenton and died from two Colonial Boxing Day musket balls, the letter was found, unopened, in his vest pocket. As someone with 15,000 unread emails in his inbox, I feel like there's a lesson there. Oh well, this is The Constant, a history of getting things wrong. I'm Mark Chrysler. Every episode, we look at the bad ideas, mistakes, and accidents that misshaped our world. Find us at constantpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who wants to go in the deep end anyway? It's creepy down there.
You're in the shallow end with Schnepley and Toth.
You know, you're talking about your celebrity encounters earlier in the show, reminding me of this. A few years ago, you and I went to the taping of Jimmy Kimmel Live. I remember that vividly.
I remember the photo you sent me later that night. It was a photo of Jethro, and Jethro's is laying in Jimmy Kimmel's lap. Like Jimmy's reading him a story, and Jethro just titled it Cuddle Time.
Yeah. Jimmy and I are old friends. We go back a long way. And that night, you had gone home, and Jimmy and I went out for a cocktail.
Just one?
Well, for him. We walked into an oyster bar. And we're sitting in there, and of course, people are like, yeah, Jimmy, hey, Jimmy, you know. And then after a couple of drinks, we left, and same thing on the way out, Jimmy, hey, Jimmy. And we get into the limo, and I'm like, does this happen to you all the time? People are calling you out. And he goes, nobody who lives in LA does. These are all people that are visiting. They're all tourists. Only the tourists do this.
Yeah. There is, for the most part, I think, a real understanding of, it's not that big a deal. You kind of get used to seeing people like that. Mm-hmm. And I think people, by and large, are pretty good about just, you know, let the guy have dinner with his family. You know, let him read his book. Let him have his cup of coffee. I think the occasional going up to somebody as they're leaving and saying, hey, man, you know, I really appreciate, I love your work, or something like that is acceptable. But people are pretty cool about leaving people alone.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Okay, let me ask you this question. I'm shifting gears here rather quickly, but has your car ever developed a real funky smell?
Yeah.
What caused the smell?
Well, I actually had to go online to figure it out. It smelled like crayons.
Really?
And then I found out that a lot of cars, German cars, use something in their internal components that when it gets warm, they start smelling like crayons.
Well, German engineering at its finest.
Yeah. I'm guessing your story is not about crayons.
No. But I've had that experience. You get in your car one day and it's this terrible odor and you have no idea how it got there. This was back when I was living in Tucson, in fact. I had some friends who came to town to visit. And we had a lovely time, and I was taking them back to the airport. Shortly after that, a couple of days later, I started noticing this particularly foul smell inside my car. I couldn't imagine what that smell was coming from, so I started searching. And in the back seat, it seems that on the way to the airport, we had stopped for a quick snack, and they were afraid they were going to miss the flight, so they left the car quickly, and in that haste, they left a partially consumed filet-o-fish sandwich on the floor of my back seat. And this was in July in Tucson.
I was going to say, what time of year was this, Jethro? Mm-hmm. Because people who have not been to Tucson don't know what it's like to have a car feel like a blast furnace when you open the doors.
Absolutely true. The temperature was about 110, which is not unusual in July.
No, not at all.
In Tucson. And apparently 110 degrees is not, it doesn't interact well with breaded cod, mayonnaise, and cheese. I had to throw my floor mats away.
Yeah, I believe it. Because if it's 110 outside and your car is sitting in the sun with the windows rolled up, honest to God, it's probably going to be about 150, 160 degrees in that car before you open the doors.
What's the weirdest thing that's melted in your car in Tucson in the summer?
I can't even remember, but having spent so many decades there, there have to be many things that melted in my car.
I had a rubber knob shift on my manual transmission. I came out, I went to Park Mall, and I came out, and it had started to ooze down over the shift. I kid you not. It's true.
I'm going to change all my computer passwords to rubber knob shift.
So I'm trying to get rid of this smell. You know, I threw my floor mats away, and it took a long time to get rid of the dead fish smell.
Did it ever go away completely?
It did, but, you know, it took a while before it stopped wafting up from the floorboards of my Mitsubishi Diamante. I bought one of those cans of aerosol car freshener, you know, yeah. The kind that it says a new car smell.
New car smell, yeah.
But it never smells like a new car. It smells more like a shoe store.
Right.
I rode around with the windows down and the sunroof open for about a week and a half, you know, using that spray. In July.
Perfect.
It was an ugly situation. And that leads me to my story today. Although I don't know the source of the smell, but on December 14th, 2019, in the UK, a 29-year-old man named Carl Fisher encountered the same problem. A mysterious funk permeated the inside of his car.
And I'm guessing it wasn't a fillet of fish.
No, it was not a fillet of fish.
That would be an ironic turn. And then it was also a fillet of fish.
Yeah, and his name's Fisher.
The end.
Yep. No, he was not able to identify this disagreeable automotive effluvia. At the time he noticed it, he was low on petrol, as they say in the UK.
What we would call
here
gas.
In the US.
Yeah.
Yes. So we stopped at a gas station to fill up, and it was in Halifax, West Yorkshire, in England. After Mr. Fisher had filled up his car with gas, he pulled his vehicle around to the side of the gas station. He parked and he went inside to get a pack of cigarettes and a beverage. While standing in line, he noticed at the counter they had a display of car fresheners. Mostly the spray kind. They also had the little pine tree ones.
Sure.
Kat and I hate the black ice pine tree car fresheners. It's become a bit of a joke with us.
We have to stop doing it, though, because we share a car now.
Yeah, it's true. When we each had our own vehicle, we would sabotage the other one's vehicle. She actually went to the place that was changing the oil of my car, got my keys, went inside, and taped about 40 of these black ice car fresheners to the roof.
Man, that's dedication to a joke.
It is. But this guy did not get the black ice. He got one of the little spray things with the new car smell. He was hopeful that perhaps that would help. Now, apparently, this was one of those discount aerosol spray car fresheners that wasn't really very strong.
Okay.
So he gets in the car and he sprays it, and it didn't really do anything. He could smell it, but it didn't mask the odor. So he sprayed a little bit more. Still not achieving the desired level of non-stinkness, he sprayed more. And now he's getting frustrated because it's still not covering up the smell.
It's not working.
So he's got this little spray bottle is about, I don't know, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 inches tall. It's not like a giant can. So he just empties the can inside, just sprays the entire contents of this can in his car. Finally, he's satisfied. Now he gets in his car and he goes to his next appointment. And he's on his way to the other side of Halifax, and he got about 10 minutes, and traffic was kind of slow and go, and he was concerned that he was going to be late. He's frustrated and anxious. Traffic was backed up on Fountain Street in Halifax. It was about 3 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon, and feeling anxious because he was running late, Carl decided to light up a cigarette. The subsequent explosion was heard for several blocks.
Oh, no.
The spray from the aerosol ignited. And it caused a blast so strong that it blew out his windshield, buckled the doors of his car, bent the frame, and damaged windows of nearby office buildings.
Holy cow.
Witnesses were reported as saying it looked like a fireball with wheels. It must have been an awesome display of pyrotechnics is all I can think.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Fortunately for Mr. Fisher, he was relatively unscathed. He was clearly stunned and in shock. He quickly regained his faculties once the fire and the flames had died down, enough for him to climb out through the window of his back seat. Now, it didn't take long for West Yorkshire Fire and Rescue Services to arrive at the scene. They determined that the, quote, dramatic incident was due to excessive air freshener use. Mr. Fisher was transported to Huddersfield Royal Infirmary in the back of an ambulance. And I'm wondering what that was like. Is he lying down? Is he sitting on the edge of the... I picture him sitting on the edge of the stretcher talking to the paramedics. Hey, you mind if I smoke?
I was picturing the paramedic saying, do you notice it smells like a new car in here?
Now, considering the size of the explosion and the damage that it did to the vehicle and the surrounding buildings, Mr. Fisher was relatively unscathed. He did have burns on his hands and face, but made a full recovery. Mr. Fisher told The Sun, quote, "I should be dead right now." He then added, "I was literally driving around in a primed bomb and had no clue until I lit up a Benson and Hedges." I didn't even know they still sold Benson and Hedges. The West Yorkshire Fire and Rescue Services, this was on their Facebook page. Quote, "Shortly after 3 p.m. this afternoon, Fountain Street, Halifax, had to be closed due to an exploding aerosol can. The fumes exploded and blew out the windshield along with windows at a nearby business." I think the story teaches us many things, not the least of which is that smoking can kill you in many different ways. Also, excessive air freshener use can as well, too.
That's actually something I never would have thought of. I never would have dreamed that something like that could happen. After hearing the story, I think, well, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But that's crazy.
Well, here's the weirder part. It happens quite frequently. In fact, it happened in the UK 2 years prior to that. It was the 6th of September, 2017. It was quarter after noon when a late model Ford Focus exploded in the parking lot outside of the B&Q.
That's what you get for driving a Ford Focus, people.
This was in Essex. The force was so great in this case, it completely blew the roof and the doors off the car. Much to the delight of the pedestrians passing by. Essex Fire and Rescue Services responded to that blast. The passenger was removed from the vehicle. And I picture like Wile E. Coyote again with the smoke coming up off of him.
Yeah.
Minor injuries. Again, minor injuries. The blast was determined to be the result of excessive air freshener use combined with firing up a butt.
Yeah.
This is not that uncommon. I remember hearing a story, and I don't remember all the details. I don't have it in front of me. It happened a number of years ago. A woman bought a large can of hairspray and apparently didn't like it, and so she was going to throw it away, but she didn't want to throw away the full can. She thought that might be dangerous. It might get punctured or be exposed to fire or something. She took the can and she emptied it all out into the toilet. And not long after that, her husband came home from work and went up to the bathroom and sat down, get some business done.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting there and he lights up a cigarette.
Oh, no.
Nothing happened until he was done smoking it and he tossed it between his legs into the toilet. A massive explosion took place. Rescue crews were called. They're carrying this guy down the stairs on a stretcher. And the story goes that the paramedics asked his wife how he obtained these injuries, and she told them the scenario that led up to this, and they started laughing so hard they dropped him down the stairs and he broke his arm.
No!
Let this be a lesson. Don't call paramedics.
My source material, The Evening Standard, South End Echo, The Sun, The Independent, and the BBC. The Beebs, if you will.
The Beebs.
Yeah.
Wow. So many lessons today.
Yes.
Always go for the pine tree instead of a aerosol can.
Yeah, they're less explosive, I'm guessing.
You know, you're just begging people to send you those black ice car fresheners.
Yeah. Can we strike that from the record, Your Honor?
I'll edit it out.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Look forward to hanging out with you again next week.
Look forward to next time, as always.
And remember, reminder for those of you listening, you can get more information about The Shallow End at shallowendpodcast.com. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
As always.
So until we get back together again, make sure you make good choices.
Your life might depend on it.
So concludes another episode of The Shallow End with Schnepley and Toff. We thank you for listening. Oh, be a dear, would you? Please subscribe to this podcast, give these boys a 5-star rating, and think of something nice to say, even if you have to make something up. And visit us online at shallowendpodcast.com. All content copyright 2022. Misuse of this podcast may result in serious injury or even death. Follow all label directions. This offer void in Fort Kent, Maine, and Tucson, Arizona. And parts of Orlando. Don't ask. Just trust us. Okay, gotta go.
What do you get when you take two childhood friends with a passion for unexplored history and a whole lot of booze?
You get us, Queens Podcast.
And here at Queens, we are spilling the tea on all kinds of women from history.
From New Orleans voodoo queen Marie Laveau to Marie Antoinette and everything in between.
Each queen is paired with a cocktail recipe that will totally get you in the mood to hear the fun, dramatic, and juicy stories of fascinating women from history.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheers!
Do you love history but hate when it's stuffy and boring? Well, look no further and join me, Katie Charlwood, your friend, the neighborhood social scientist and reader of books, as I delve into unsolved historical mysteries, murders by gaslight, and of course, women who have been misrepresented through all time. On Who Did What Now, the history podcast that's not your history class. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.